Father God, we thank you for your word. We pray that we might hear it and understand what you are trying to say to us through it. Give us wisdom, give us understanding. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. Sometime in the past, I shared this following true story. Dodie Gadian, a school teacher for 13 years, decided to travel across America and see the sites that she had taught about. Traveling alone in a truck with a camper in tow, she launched out, and one afternoon, rounding a curve on Interstate 5 near Sacramento in rush hour traffic, a water pump blew on her truck. She was tired, she was exasperated, scared, and alone. And in spite of the traffic jam she caused, no one seemed interested in helping her. Leaning up against the trailer, she prayed, "Please, God, send me an angel, preferably one with mechanical experience." Within 4 minutes, a huge Harley drove up, ridden by an enormous man sporting long black hair, a beard, tattooed arms, and with an incredible air of confidence, jumped off and without even going up, glancing at Dodie, went to work on the truck. And within another few minutes, he flagged down a larger truck, attached a tow chain to the chassis of the disabled Chevy, and whisked the whole 56-foot rig off the freeway onto a side street, where he calmly continued to work on the water pump. Now, the intimidated school teacher was too dumbfounded to talk, especially when she read the paralyzing words on the back of his leather jacket: "Hell's Angels, California." And as she finished the task, she got up the courage finally to say, "Thanks so much," and then carried on a brief conversation. And noticing her surprise at the whole ordeal, he looked her straight in the eye and mumbled, "Don't judge a book by its cover. You may not know who you're talking to." And with that, he smiled, closed the hood of the truck, straddled his Harley. With a wave, he was gone as fast as he appeared. Don't judge a book by its cover. And yet, we often judge books by their cover. And I don't mean just real books, literal books, but people as well. We wonder sometimes what someone did to end up the way they are. We know that we shouldn't, but we wonder. And it's so easy when we're looking or watching a disabled person to see the person and not the disability. In the gospel story today, we hear the exchange between Jesus and a severely disabled woman and Jesus and the leader of the synagogue. And just then, there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and quite unable to stand up straight. And when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. Now notice, she's crippled by a spirit. A woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. And I think we can read into that phrasing that it's an evil spirit, because a good spirit would not have done that. Peter Lockhart, in a commentary on our Luke passage, entitled "Going to Church," writes about this. Going back to Jesus' time, a woman who had an affliction like being bent double would likely have found herself ostracized by the community. The very fact that we are told that her ailment is caused by a spirit, presumably an unfriendly one, indicates the kind of attitude that society had toward those who had an illness or disability. People only saw the cover of the book. did not care that she might have been a wonderful person. They only saw the cover, the bent over woman. Jesus, notice, Jesus does not judge the woman. He does not even ask about her faith to see if she was worthy of being healed of her attention. Although we can suppose that because she was attending the synagogue, she was a believer. However, we can imagine that the thought never entered into Jesus' head to not heal her. He doesn't even ask her if she wants to be healed. Like the man on the Harley didn't ask the woman if he wants to cut the truck fixed. He just heals her. Jesus heals her and she begins praising God. And pardon my friends, but all hell breaks loose. As the leader of the synagogue berates Jesus for healing, for working on the Sabbath. According to the leader, the woman should suffer another day because it was the Sabbath. Now, I think we can suppose that this was not the first time this woman had appeared in the synagogue. It's quite possible that she came to worship every week on the Sabbath. Perhaps she'd even talked with this temple leader about her disability and the suffering that she experienced because of it. Very likely the synagogue leader knew this woman. And then he jumps on Jesus when Jesus brings her relief from her suffering. Because keeping the Sabbath was more important than her suffering. Against the legalism of the law, she was nothing. However, to Jesus, she was a child of God, beloved. Lockhart says about this, "Now, if the church is to be a sign of Jesus' love in the world, I believe that this has implications for us. In the last 30 years, there's continually been a shift in the way that we have spoken in the community about people with disabilities. The word handicapped is no longer appropriate. And I shouldn't have used it in my sermon title. The word disabled has been superseded. To say someone is physically challenged is just not in vogue. I believe the current politically correct phrase is differently abled. This all may seem like playing with words, but at the heart, it's a search for affirming the humanity of people who are different. Unfortunately, though, the moment we use any kind of label for a group of people, there's a point of differentiation and even segregation. It strikes me how often in the scriptures, people like the bent over woman are left nameless. We don't know her name. In knowing a name, we begin to know the person. And as we get to know a person, the labels become less relevant. I think this story challenges us to let go of the language of separation and speak of everyone as a member of the whole family of God. It's not easy. And I know that. I am often guilty for using language that separates. And my wife and my daughter call me on it every time. When we use language that calls attention to our differences, we are judging people. We are making them into something different. And when I say judging there, I don't mean we're making them bad people, but we're judging, we're separating them from ourselves. They have something we don't. The late Father Anthony DeMello in his book of stories from different religions, entitled The Song of the Bird, shares a wonderful little piece entitled Label Makers. Life is like heady wine. Everyone reads the label on the bottle. Hardly anyone tastes the wine. Buddha once held up a flower to his disciples and asked each of them to say something about it. One pronounced a lecture, another a poem, yet another a parable, each trying to outdo the other in depth and erudition. Label makers. Mahashkya smiled and said nothing. Only he had seen the flower. If I could only taste a bird, a flower, a tree, a human face. But alas, I have no time. My energy is spent deciphering the label. Our labels separate us from one another by causing us to spend more time on deciphering that label, of understanding why it is, what's happened. I remember when I saw the woman in our group passage. Yes, I saw her. We had just taken Allison back to Worcester College in Ohio, Worcester, Ohio. Barbara and I were on our way home for taking a. We stopped out in Eaton Park in Clarion, Pennsylvania. And while we were eating, that woman from the story walked in. She was older. She was bent over at a 90-degree angle. And as she walked, she could only see the ground. She couldn't see much in front of her because she was like this. She could only get her head up like that. And if she wanted to look up, that was about the best she could do. It was very difficult for her. Was obvious, but she had been that way, you could tell, for a long time. And I remember that I was so taken by her disability and suffering that that was all I could see. I was deciphering the label. I found it hard to see the person she was. I had separated her from me and others because of a disability. It's so difficult. But I think it's important for us and the other person that we see them this way. That's what how God wants us to see them, as a member of our family. It's the only way that we can see them as the child of God. So let's enjoy the wine of the person within and not spend our time deciphering the label of their disability.